Morning. I'm glad that you all are with us because we have a special guest. Brian Adams is with us this morning from the refuge system here in Texas. You work for the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, right, Brian?
Absolutely. And you know, there are so many different environments in Texas. If you start down in South Texas, it's tropical along the beaches. And then as you go north, you get into more of a marshy area, which is a real wet grassland situation. And even up into East Texas, kind of close to the coast, you can have big swampy areas, wonderful cypress swamps. But in this area, we want to concentrate on a couple of things. First, the sandy beach area. You know, we have this really nice sand along our beaches like this. And sometimes people wonder, where is that sand coming from? A lot of people think that the bottom of the ocean is covered with sand.
Well, isn't the Gulf of Mexico covered with sand?
It isn't. You know, it's kind of yucky, oozy stuff out there.
Oh.
But a lot of our sand actually is the result of erosion somewhere. You're familiar with erosion, right?
Well, let's see. Is that where rocks get broken down into little particles?
Yes.
These are little particles
you
of rock.
You are so good, Ann. Yes. Well, these get carried by rivers down to the ocean and then are carried by ocean currents along the shore. So the sand is restricted mainly in the areas close to the shore. And there are some other things that cause the breakdown also. Notice this shell. It has lots of little holes in it.
Well, I wondered about that.
Yeah, well, you know, these shells are actually made by animals that live in the ocean. And after those animals are dead, sometimes there's a little bitty sponge. A sponge is a kind of animal that begins growing on those shells and causes the shells to erode away. And eventually those particles
can
break down. It's not really using it for food. It's using it more for shelter. It's kind of drilling into it for shelter. But speaking of drilling, you notice this shell. It has a hole on the end of it, and that was actually done by a special type of snail that has a rough tongue, and it rubs that tongue back and forth on that shell until eventually it makes a hole, and the soft animal is inside, and it has a trunk, kind of like a, it's called a proboscis, but it's sort of like an elephant's trunk. It sticks down in there and eats the animal inside.
Does it kind of suck it out like a straw?
Yeah, kind of like that.
Oh, yeah. My God, that's gross.
But, you know, there are some really special events that occur along the Texas coast called hurricanes. And sometimes these hurricanes will, they can hit different parts of the coast, and they're not real common, but when they do, you have really tremendous winds and waves, and these can cause a lot of erosion in the beaches, so the sand is carried away, and sometimes can actually cut through the beaches and cause salt water to move into areas that are normally not real salty. And this can cause some destruction of some of the freshwater plants. And on the other hand, with hurricanes, you can have a lot of rainfall, and that freshwater can flow into the bays that are normally salty and cause them to become a little more freshwater. So the animals that live in these areas frequently have to be able to adapt to changing salinities. And speaking of this, when we go in from the coast just a little bit, we get marshy areas that are covered with types of grass.
So we're going
from here over to here to a grassy area. And, you know, this first grass that we're looking at is called salt grass. It's a good name for it in this sort of area. And if we pull a little bit of this out of here, oh, my goodness, look. Oh, isn't this wonderful? Look at this. Oh,
this is wonderful.
This is wonderful. You know, we get all these little rhizomes here, which are an underground stem that are full of good food, and the snow geese down here just love to feed on this, and their bills have little serrations on them. They chop it up into a whole bunch of little equal-sized pieces, and that drops down into their gizzard. You know, it kind of looks like spaghetti. Maybe we could call this goose spaghetti. The salsa looks a little dark to me.
Yeah.
But,
how do they get, they actually dig down?
Down there with their bills and they dig around in there and root this up. They just love this salt grass.
Oh, okay.
Now, when we go over here a little ways, we see some other plants. Right here, I see some bushy blue stem. Beautiful.
Yes.
Look at those
seeds.
Yeah. Isn't that wonderful? And this makes part of our coastal prairie. And, of course, we have Gulf corn grass in here. It tends to form big clumps like this.
Is. a big...
And yeah, it's, you know, all these roots help to reduce erosion in these areas when the waves come in and are pounding on this. And, you know, sometimes we can actually find some of the plants around here that are edible. Now, you might not want to chew on the end of this where my fingers have touched because, you know, it has all this spaghetti sauce on it. But you are welcome to take this and nibble on the end. That is called glasswort, and it's real salty. Sometimes people actually put that in salads.
In a salad?
In a salad. So what do you think?
It's kind of salty.
It's kind of salty. Well, that's why, you know, I guess if you don't have a salt shaker handy, you can do that.
So did the pioneers perhaps use this?
The pioneers have used that, but there are some people today that still use it. Absolutely. Now, every once in a while, we find an interesting situation in this country. We find that some of the plants like this, this is called Bacchus, this forms big bushes, and these begin to grow out into the prairie areas. Now, that didn't happen a lot in the past because periodically there would be huge fires that would get started by something like lightning. And these fires would sweep over miles and miles of the dry prairie, but the grasses are adapted to that. So after it burned, the rhizomes underneath the ground would send up new shoots, but it killed out. The fires killed out these invasive bushy things like Bacchus and some of the other trees that eventually would take over the prairie. Since we don't allow fires to burn wild nowadays, we have some management programs, and one of them is fire management. And we will deliberately burn areas of the prairie that are being encroached on by some of these woody plants because some animals actually have to have prairie to live. Not everything should be bushes. Not everything should be forest. We need a variety of habitats for a variety of animals.
So I see. So you're trying to keep the grasses growing.
We're trying to
keep managing.
Fire. We want to keep prairie, prairie, and we want to keep forest, forest. And so we have different management systems for doing that.
Well, it sounds like you have a very busy job just trying to manage that.
The refuges are busy places. They're natural places, but to keep them natural, we have to do some managing.
Well, that is very interesting, and thank you so much for being with us this morning, Brian.
Thanks for giving me a
chance. Right now, we're going to go to Steve in a game show.